We have spent several services in Numbers 21, and I'll probably be in it all day today. I don't believe I can finish it this morning, but I want to kind of maybe get us started back in this and headed in that direction. I believe it'd be good for us before revival or going into revival to kind of focus on some things the Lord has given me. I have thoroughly enjoyed this study and on the Valley of Arnon. And I hope that the Lord will take it and use it again this morning. He's still the God of the valleys. He's still the God of every situation we face. And we can trust Him in these days. Numbers 21, stand with me. Let's read a few verses and we'll see what the Lord will do. All right? The children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth, and they journeyed. Verse 10, they journeyed from Oboth and pitched in Aji-Abarim, in the wilderness which is before Moab toward the sun rising. From thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness. It cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, amen, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matanah, and from Matanah to Nahaliel, and from Nahaliel to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley, that is the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon. And we'll leave off our reading there. We're preaching again on the Valley of Arnon, the God of the valleys, the Valley of Arnon. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning thankful for the Word of God, thankful for the Church of the Living God, thankful for the privilege to pray to our Heavenly Father. I'm thankful this morning, Lord, that you are on the throne. We're thankful today. Lord, didn't know what Brother Jerry had picked out for the choir to sing, but Lord, the reminders of the blessed hope and the glorious place called heaven, Lord, that we have to look forward to, what a day that's going to be, Lord, when we finally arrive in a place that we can call home. And Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for that hope that we have. And Lord, as we prayed earlier this morning, I pray, Lord, even now, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, may it be today that Jesus would come and get us out of this old world in which we live. And Lord, you ain't come yet. And so, Lord, we've got another opportunity to preach. I pray that you'd fill us with unction and power and wisdom beyond ourselves. Lord, may no man even see us today. But Lord, as we preach, may they see Jesus. And as we preach today, may they hear what the Spirit of the Lord would have to say. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, in this place would be a spirit of encouragement. Lord, I know we're living in hard times, in a dry and a thirsty land. But Lord, I pray this morning we'd hear the message of hope, that our God would give us water and our God would give us a drink. And that Lord, in the valleys in which we're walking through today, our God will be faithful to provide. And Lord, all that you do this morning, we'll thank and bless you for it. In Jesus' name, I do humbly pray. Amen and amen. In the text that we've read again to you this morning, just real quickly, we understand that Israel has been in the wilderness nearly 40 years. The end of their wanderings are coming to a close. And they began now not to wander, but to journey. And now they're making a turn in which is going to lead them back toward Canaan land. And going all the way back to Kadesh Barnea and that experience where they had rejected the land in the first time. But now God is going to bring them into that land and give them that land. And they've got just a little ways to go before they arrive there. And in the context of the events of this text, the Word of God deals with, in referencing the book of the wars of the Lord, it references this wilderness of Arnon and this place in which they're journeying through as the brooks of Arnon. And in down in verse number 20, it references seeing in this series of stops and places along the way that this all took place in the valley. And I would submit to us, this is a valley. This is the valley of Arnon. It is a valley that is in a wilderness land that has a brook running through the midst of it, and a place that should have been a brawling stream, but was a place that they found to be dry and to be thirsty in. And thus the whole scene and the setting that we've read to you this morning, this place deals with a miraculous event whereby God gave the children of Israel a drink of water again. Amen. They're in the last leg of their journey to Canaan land, and God made sure they had enough drink to make it through. And we understand the land of Canaan to the child of God is a type of the Spirit-filled life. As we consider it in light of the fact that we're in a journey, amen, and that we're headed to a place that we call home in a land that, thank God, is going to be fairer than day. We believe tonight that the church is in the last days, and in the last days we're in walking through many valleys, and even a valley that would be like Arnon. These ought to be days of a brawling stream. These ought to be days of overwhelming joy. These ought to be days, amen, of immense victory in our lives and in our spirit and in our thoughts. And yet oftentimes we find, as the children of God find in our text, that, amen, the brawling streams of Arnon have dried up and left us wondering how in the world are we going to make it the last few miles of the journey. Amen. I'm glad tonight this text would speak to you and I of the fact that our God is the God of even that valley. Amen. That in the last few miles of our trip, in the last few days that we have, amen, it seems like the valley gets dark and gets dry. Amen. And is of a great distance for you and I to travel through. Amen. But I'm glad that I know the God of the valleys and what God did literally for Israel in this text. I'm glad the Lord is doing spiritually for His church in these last days. And so studying this text, we looked at the path into the valley and briefly put, and maybe even just in a statement in verses 10 and 11 and 12, we find that God, in bringing them along the journey before they ever made it to this valley, and before they ever ran dry upon a drink and spent all that they had, that the Lord was proving Himself to be faithful in their life. Amen. And I'm glad this path that we've gone down, we can look back, amen, and we see a God that's ever been faithful that has been leading the way for you and me. Amen. I'm glad I ain't had to navigate myself it. I'm glad I ain't made it this far because of my own strength, but amen, thank God, God has been leading every step of the way, and God along the way has had some stops in our life, amen, before we've ever made it to this valley of the last days, amen, the valley of the last leg of this journey, amen, and the church can look back and say that God has been faithful, and God has been proven to be trustworthy. Amen. He led us into this valley, but before He brought us here, He has proved Himself to be faithful. And what a blessing that is. And so we read in verse number 11 that as they journeyed, at their journeying toward the sunrise. And can I say here that this morning, I'm thankful for all the sunrise pictures you sent over the last few weeks. Folk have sent pictures from their front porches and back porches. I've even received pictures from right here in the sanctuary. Amen, where the sun was coming up and shining through the window. And all the sunrise pictures, amen, that remind us to make our journey toward the sunrise. Amen, a picture of hope, a picture that, Amen. That weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And what a blessing that is in our path that we've been down. Amen. So long as we keep our eyes toward the eastern sky. Amen. You do know that's the direction the Lord's coming back from. Amen. I can't explain all that, how that works across the globe tonight. Amen. But I do believe, my friend, the east is toward the sunrise. And so, my friend, the sunrise lets us know, amen, that God was working through the night. Amen. That God would let the light shine upon our brow one more time. And then thank God one of these days the sun's going to get up and it's never going to set again. For we read in Revelation, amen, there'll be no need of the sun there. Amen, neither candle by night, for the Lord is the light of the city. Amen, the Lamb lighted my friend all day long. Amen, and our attention, amen, will be on the one that by faith we're looking to today. Amen, that's the path into the valley. And then we've looked at and begun and embarked upon this. And I'll close this point out this morning. We'll give you the third one tonight. Amen, but we've been looking at the provision in the valley. Amen, the path led them down this road into a wilderness. Amen, the path that God had for them, the last leg of the journey. Amen, led them down into the valley. And when they get in the valley, we've been studying the fact that my friend here, they're headed to a place where they are no longer going to wander. Amen, they're no longer wandering, they're journeying, they're headed to a place. At this journey to Canaan is leads them out, amen, into this valley, finding themselves in a time, amen, where they need a drink. And I'm glad, amen, that God gave them a drink. All they had, amen, in verse number 11, the picture is an obol. Amen, literally means a bottle. All they had, amen, in the path of their journey was a bottle. Amen, and that bottle got them so far. Amen, but God, amen, God in the valley provided them a well. Amen, the Bible said, and from thence they went to Beer. And Beer means literally a well. And so God, my friend, when their bottle dried up, amen, when they had spent all that they had had on yesterday's miracle, my friend, God provided for them, amen, something greater than a bottle. Amen, He gave them a well, my friend, to open up. And God provided water in the valley. Amen, we looked at, and you'll remember the present environment of its provision. Amen, how that when they're journeying, amen, the Lord takes His people beyond Zered. Amen, the place of growth, the place of being hedged. And now they walk in, my friend, into this valley of Arnon, and they find two environments that they're going to have to deal with. Amen. Number one, it was a dry environment. Amen. The Bible called it in verse 20 a wilderness. It was a wilderness land, literally a desert. Amen. All they had at best, amen, was a few days before. Amen. All they had a few days before at best was a bottle of water. Amen. A bottle of water ain't gonna take you very far through a wilderness. And so they're in a dry environment. Amen. They look around and they see everything looks dry. Amen. They ain't a stitch of water in sight. Amen. There's a place where water used to be. Amen. There's a dried up brook where water used to one time. Amen. Come bubbling through, but it's all become dry. Amen. It's not only dry, but it's a dangerous environment. Amen. The Bible said again in verse number 13, how it said there that it was between Moab and the Amorites. Amen. Both Moab and the Amorites are hostile to the children of Israel. They are enemies to the people of God. Amen. Here they are stuck between two enemies. And these enemies, my friend, hate their guts. Amen. They had already dealt with another enemy traveling through in the previous text. Amen. When they went to the king of Edom and said, Amen. We need to pass through your land. We want to go down the King's Highway. And if you'll let us go down the King's Highway, we won't touch your vineyards. We won't eat your crops. And we won't drink your water. And the King of Edom said, no, you're not coming through our land. And Moses sent word back and said, we really need to come through. And if you just let us walk through the King's Highway, amen, we won't eat your crops and we won't eat your food and we won't destroy your land. And if we do drink any water, we will pay you for that then we take. And the King of Edom said no and gathered his army, said, and Israel, my friend, had to walk through that land, amen, with the enemy staring them in the face, forbidding them, amen, to take a drink of water. Amen. And so now here they're faced with another enemy. Amen. And not just one enemy, but a second enemy. Amen. In fact, and later on in Numbers 21, the Amorites, amen, are going to come and make war with Moses and the children of Israel over this very thing of passing through the land and finding a drink of water. Amen. Do you understand that in the dry environment spiritually of our day? Amen. Listen, it's dry. It's dry in a thirsty land. Amen. And our enemies is doing all they can, amen, to hinder us from finding water. Amen. They're not interested in us making it to Canaan land. They're not interested in us surviving the valley. Yeah. Amen. And so there are times we are absolutely dependent, amen, upon the faithfulness of our God and His provision to give you and I a well, amen, in this valley that we are in. Amen. We see the present environment, amen, where these provisions were made. It didn't matter how dry and dangerous the land was. Amen. God gave His people water. Amen. And God is still doing it in this hour and this day we live in. Amen. Number two, this is where we ended at. Amen. In these provisions of the valley, I see the providential encouragement of its provision. Of the experience of Israel in this wilderness valley really was a place for God to encourage His people. Amen. And can I say about the dry and dangerous days we're living in? Amen. These are days where God wants to encourage us. Amen. These are days that God will, amen, give us a word that is attached, amen, to some sort of provision that we need. Amen. The well He would provide was a significant source of encouragement and a testimony, and no matter what valley we go through, no matter how dry we are, you may have your bottle upside down, amen, and taking in the very last drop. God knows where you are and God knows what we need. And God is a God who provides. Amen. Jehovah Jireh is His name. Amen. The Lord God who provides. I'm glad, thank God, this evening. Amen. In the wilderness, He can provide a well. Amen. In the valley, He knows when we need a drink. And so we found in this text in verse 16, we looked at the grace that is pictured. Amen. Beer not only means well, but it implies a well from which is sourced by a fresh and flowing fountain. Amen. Listen, that testifies to me, Brother Mike, that in the dry land and the dangerous land, there may not be any water on the surface, amen, but God had a stream running underneath the dry ground. And that's exactly the ministry of grace in our life. Amen. It may look like on the outside we can't make it. It may look like, my friend, from the top side, amen, that it's only dry and dangerous. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, in the depths of my soul, there is a fresh flowing fountain of grace. Amen. I have water. I can find a drink, thank God, in the valley. Amen. Not because I'm anything. Amen. But because God's grace, it flows even in a dry valley. The grace that is pictured, we looked at the God that is present. Amen. In verse number 16, again, the Bible said, and from thence, They went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses. And so we find that the Lord is present. Amen. The Lord is with them in their valley. Amen. He spake to Moses, meaning and implying that the Lord was near and that the Lord was aware, amen, of what they needed. Amen. And so we see the presence of the Lord. Amen. He didn't just show up in this valley. He has been with them all along. Amen. He's been with them all along. Amen. All that wilderness wandering they've done for 40 plus years. Amen. Listen, they were learning that they could trust their God. Amen. You see, this ain't the first place He gave them water. It ain't the first place that they found a drink from the hand of God. Amen. And I won't re-preach it all, but Exodus 15, He gave them water at Marah when the waters were bitter. Amen. They were thirsty and stumbled upon Marah and thought they had a drink, but amen, it was poisoned water. It was bitter water. Amen. But the Lord pointed out a tree and they cast the tree in the water and the water was made sweet and all the people drank. Amen. I'm glad the Lord's give us drink in times and places. Amen. A bitterness in our life. Amen. When things, my friend, became bitter and hard, I'm thankful God has proven faithful to give a drink. He gave them water at Massa. Amen. In Exodus chapter number 17, as the Lord there gave water out of a rock. Amen. The place of temptation. Amen. The place where they doubted God could do it. And yet God did it. Thank the Lord. Amen. Even when we don't think God can, I'm glad God does. Amen. Oh, what a drink we find in a place. Amen. Where we've not been all that we should. Amen. God can give a drink of water. Amen. In bitter times and in tempting times. Amen. In Numbers chapter 20, He gave them a drink. Amen. Of water there at Meribah. And Meribah means a place of strife. Amen. The people are mad at Moses. And Moses goes to God. He's mad at God. Amen. God said, go speak to the rock and I'll give them a drink. And Moses, rather than speaking the rock, smote the rock. Amen. Two times and didn't do what God said. And yet God gave a drink of water anyway. Amen. And Moses called that place Meribah. Amen. A place of strife, a place of contention. I'm thankful the Lord give us a drink of water. Amen. Even when there's strife. Amen. Even when the congregation's mad at each other. Amen. Even when the people of God are striving against the Lord. And maybe even God's man and God's man striving against the people and striving against God. I'm glad. Amen. I don't recommend we do that. Amen. That ain't a good way to live. I'm not promoting that. Amen. But all I'm saying is we've got a God that is faithful. Amen. And He'll give water when He wants to give water. And my friend, our faults and failures, they do not limit our God in any way. Amen. He proved Himself to be faithful to give them water. Now in our text, He says to Moses, amen, gather the people together and I will give them water. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that this morning I've been preaching in the night all week. Amen. I'm stuck in it, Brother Jerry. But, amen, this morning I'm thankful. Amen. That tells me that God is with us and that God knows what we need. Amen. One thing that is different in this text and is different. Amen. The last three times that they got water, Brother Gerald, is this. Amen. The other three times they grumbled and they murmured and they cried. And they said, we're about to die for water. And then God gave them water. And I can promise you this, God was going to give them a drink. Amen. If they would have never murmured, He didn't do it because they grumbled their way to getting it. No. But you know what's missing in this text? Not one time do they ask for it. Not one time did they come to Moses and say, Moses, we're thirsty and it'd been better if we'd have died in Egypt. It'd have been better had we died in the wilderness land. Oh no. Amen. They don't even acknowledge the fact that they're dry. Amen. But the Lord was with them, Gerald. Amen. You know what that tells me tonight? Amen. Amen. That tells me, Brother Riley, that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of before we ask. Amen. Moses, I will give them water. But they didn't ask for it, but they needed it. Amen. They didn't grumble about it, but they needed it. And God was there. I'm glad God is in our valley. And child of God, God knows where you are. And God knows what you need. And God in His glorious time, amen, has an encouraging word, amen, about provisions in your life. Amen. That God will give us water again. Amen. Notice with me the gathering that is proclaimed. The Lord spake unto Moses saying, what did the Lord say? He said, Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Amen. Can you see them as they're going through? Can you see them as they're going through? God, help me preach. I messed my voice up in Sunday school, but y'all pray for me. Maybe I just need to calm down a minute. But Gerald, can you see them going through that wilderness? It's dry and maybe they're flinching and they're looking for an enemy over every rock just any time to descend upon them. Can you imagine, my friend, every family as maybe it turns into several days where their bottle's been dry and they kind of go into a mode of, man, I gotta get a drink for me. I gotta have something. I gotta have something. And they're doing all they can maybe to slip off by themselves. Amen. Become disjointed from the camp. Amen. Trying to find some kind of drink to sustain them. The Lord said, Moses, that ain't ever gonna work. So long as the congregation is divided, so long as the congregation is only interested in themselves and therefore and no more. So long as they're not together in this thing, it ain't gonna work. And so the answer the Lord gave, the solution the Lord gives, is Moses, gather the people together. I'm gonna give them water, Moses. If they're gonna find a drink, they can't be out some, amen, some trodden path on their own. They're going to have to come together. And I say, I'm glad for what God does when we come together. Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, amen, we have appointed times where we come together. And, amen, we can come together physically and still not be coming together. Amen, we've got to learn that, amen, in the valley, we're not in it all by ourselves. Amen, you're not in it. Amen, listen, you're not in it all by yourself. Amen, there are others that are in the valley. There are others who are as dry or maybe drier than you are. Amen, there are others that are maybe as in as much or nearer to danger, amen, than you and I would be. Amen. But the Lord said, don't let that drive them apart. Moses, don't let the valley, amen, bring them any kind of division within themselves. Moses, I'm going to give them water, but the people have to come together. Does that make sense? You're not in it all alone. Amen. We all handle the valley differently. But I think we all need to be reminded we ain't in it alone. You're not the only one walking through a valley. You're not the only one dry. You're not the only one looking around going, how are we going to deal with the enemies? Amen, there is a valley. Amen, but notice the gathering that is proclaimed. Amen, the Lord said, gather the people together and I will give them drink. Here's what I wrote down there, but Gerald, amen, here's what the Lord showed me. Amen, there was enough water for the whole congregation to get a drink. If they would just come together, Amen. If they would come together, amen, there would be enough water for them to find a drink. Amen. I'm glad there's a drink for me. I'm glad there's a drink for you. I'm glad from the greatest to the least among us, however you'd work that out and however you'd see that in your heart's view. Amen. I'm glad it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're at. Amen. The Lord said, Moses, if they'll gather together, I will give them water. Amen. But Jerry, you can get a drink today. Amen. Amen. I'm glad. Amen. Randy, you can get a drink today. Amen. But Charlie, you can have a drink today. Amen. God said, I'm in the business. Amen. Of giving water, and there'll be enough water. Amen. That the whole congregation can find what they need. Amen. I believe that today. Amen. You say, oh, the preacher's going to get a drink. Amen. I hope I do. Amen. But if I get a big old drink this morning, you know what I know about what God provides for His people? There'll still be enough for you. Amen. You can get a drink today. Amen. But you'll have to gather together. You'll have to gather together. Amen. There'll have to be, I guess we could preach it in light of unity and a fellowship one with another. Amen. Gathering together. Moses said, amen. God said for us to gather the people together. Amen. Oh, that God would do that today. Amen. Does Calvary need a drink today? You better believe we do. Amen. Are there families here today that are dry? Amen. I believe that's so from the testimonies that folk give to me and asking for prayer. Amen. Oh, we're all thirsty. And we're all in a wilderness land. But, amen, thank God we can come together and find, amen, a well and get a drink. And it's available to all of us. I see the present environment where these provisions are made. I see the providential encouragement, amen, that is there when God makes these provisions. Let me say a quick word now in this point out, amen, here in just a minute, the personal endeavors of its provisions. Look with me in verse 17 and 18. Are you with me? Say amen. Gather the people together, I will give them water. Verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. The personal endeavors. Now here's what I want you to see. And there's far, far more preaching in that little section than I can do in this study we're doing. And we may come back to it sometime down the way. But God gave the promise, but they were going to have to dig. God said, I will give them water, and then looked at them and said, but you do the digging. That's big right there. He looked at people who are dry, who are thirsty, who are barren, who are weak, who are wearing out, who are my friend, anytime getting ready to die. God said, gather the people together, I'll give them water. But Moses, tell them to dig. Amen. I know I ain't screaming. Are y'all with me? You say, preacher, how'd all that work? Here's what the Lord showed me. The Bible said they digged with their staves. They're digging on a promise. They're digging on a promise. You think about digging. Digging's hard work. And it gets even harder, Brother A.L., if you ain't got a shovel and all you're using is a stave. Somebody help me. It's hard enough, amen, if you're digging with a shovel, amen, in good soil, amen, but you take a shovel in dry ground, it's hard to dig. That's labor, digging with a shovel in a dry, parched ground. They ain't even got a shovel. They're digging with staves. All you can do is, are y'all with me? All you can do is kind of scratch at it best you can. All you can do is make a little, come on now, all you can do with the stave is make a little dent in it every now and then. Amen. They get there, but I wish I could preach right here. I wish I had a voice. They take that stave and they make a little dent in the ground. And it looks like everything they're doing is absolutely useless and they're getting nowhere. They say, well, what are you going to do? Well, God said He'd give us water. You ain't making too much progress, I know, but God said He'd give us water. Why, you look like you ain't swinging as hard as you was a minute ago there, Joshua. I know, but God said He'd give us water. Buddy, I'm telling you, they dug on a promise when it didn't look like it was making they weren't making any headway, when it looked like, amen, they weren't getting anywhere, when all it looked like was just making just a little dent here and there, amen, in that dried, parched ground. Amen, brother A.L., God said dig. Amen, God said I'll give you water. Amen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning, child of God, I know it's dry. I know it gets long sometimes, but our God said that He'd give us water. Amen, our God said to dig. And so even when it don't look like we're getting anywhere, amen, you know what I'm doing today? Amen, I'm a preaching. There's days I preach and I want. Am I making a dent in anything? Or am I getting anywhere? Am I making an effect in anything? Amen. And I tell you what to do. Amen. By the help and the grace of God, amen, I'll get my tail up in there the next service. Amen. And I'll take the stave. I'll try to punch another hole in it. Right. Amen. You say, why? Because I'm digging on a promise. Hey. Waiting on the wells of revival to open up. Waiting on a spring to burst forth where, amen, sinners are getting saved around here. And that longing for the day and there's a breakthrough that God has promised that He will give His church, amen, a world in these last days. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, I'm so weary. Amen. All I can tell you, amen, take a little break if you need to. Amen. Take you a little breather and then get back up best you can. Amen. Just dig on, child of God. Amen. Dig on a promise that God has given. I've been out working, digging ditches or swinging sledgehammers and things in different kinds of jobs. Amen. And you know what? You know what you do? Amen. You have a handful of guys over there. Amen. And one or two of them will get down in there. Amen. And they'll swing. And they'll swing. Amen. And if you watch them, amen, that first swing, buddy, it's a hard one. That second one, my friend, you can't tell they've lost any strength. Amen. You let them swing that old 8 or 10 pound sledgehammer, amen, about a dozen times. And what you'll notice is, amen, that, but Tim, that pull through, it ain't quite as hard as it used to be. And I've been on a many. This ain't even been the message God's given me, this right here. Amen. One of them others, amen, will say, hey, let me give you a break on that a minute. Amen. And there's been some days I've tried to be macho and say, I got it. Amen. About three more swings, I'll turn around and say, somebody else take this thing. Somebody else to climb down in there and they'll go to, amen, trying to break through whatever you're tearing up. Amen, that's why we got to gather together. That's why the people got to be together. Amen, we're digging on a promise and we're digging in. Amen, some dry ground in this day. Amen, and it don't look like we're getting anywhere. It doesn't look like we're going to have a breakthrough, but we keep on digging. We're digging on a promise. God said He'd give us water, but God said we had to endeavor in this thing and dig. Number one, in this matter of digging, notice the submission. The submission. The Bible said they did this according to the word of the lawgiver. Amen. Who's the lawgiver? The Bible tells us in John 1, the law came by Moses. Moses is the human instrument. I know it's God's law, but Moses was the lawgiver. Their man of God said, dig. Moses, we're pretty tired right now. Moses said, I know you're tired and I'm tired, but we got to dig. So Moses, I don't know how much use I can be. I ain't got no shovel. All we got's a few staves around here. Moses said, I know what we got and I know what we ain't got. But if we'll dig, God promised. And I believe them elders gathered around and said, Moses, if you said dig, we'll dig. Ain't that what the Bible said? They did it according to the word of the lawgiver. Moses was in that valley. Moses was tired and weary and dry and thirsty too. When he said, fellas, we got to dig, they said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do what I can. I ain't work much. I ain't work much, Moses, but I'll try to make a dent in it. So I say, hey, you looking tired, man. They run over by Moses. Somebody else helps a brother out. And they just start digging. Submission. You know how God gives water to people? He gives it through submission. You ain't going to have no water if we're not in submission. Amen. Amen. There's submission. I got to quit. Y'all are winding down on me. Amen. The submission. Notice with me the staves. What did they dig with? I done pointed it out. But Charlie, they didn't dig with shovels. The Bible said they dug with staves. So what's a stave? A stave's just a sturdy stick. Is that right? A stave's just a sturdy stick. But listen, they're in a wilderness land. You don't find staves in a wilderness. Brother Mike, they didn't just walk over there in Arnon and pick up a stick somewhere. They're in a dry land. You ever picked up a dried out stick? You ain't going to do no digging with that. You lean on it, it'll break. You hit it on the ground, it'll snap in pieces. Where'd them staves come from? Amen. Y'all want to know? Them staves came from them elders. And pass them staves on down to their families in each generation. They weren't looking for new staves. There wasn't anything around there that would be worth trying to dig a hole with a stick. But them things them elders had placed in their hands, Brother A.L., and said, I'm going to pass my stave to you as I pass off the scene. And those staves were handed down to the families. Amen. Does anybody see the picture there? I'm not looking for some new way thing, amen, to dig with. What about that stave of supplication and prayer? Hey, anybody willing to endeavor with that stave? Say, preacher, it don't look like it works. It just makes a little dent every now and then. Well, dig on a promise. Pray on a promise and just keep on using that stave that's been passed down and touching the throne of God. Amen. Breaking through heaven. Amen. A stave of prayer. What about that stave of old time holy living? That's a stave that's been put up on the shelf a long time ago in a lot of people's lives. My friend, is still a stave that's been passed down. Amen. And you say, preacher, it don't look like it works. It ain't much ground gets turned over. I know. And I know it just looks like a little dent every now and then. But thank God for them things our forefathers have passed on to you and I. And if we'll learn the meaning and the power of them staves, amen, there'll be a breakthrough. They say about this situation, and in fact it seems to be indicated in the text, that the Lord, as they journeyed, the Lord brought them to Beer, in which was a well. There was already a well there. There's already a well there. But the environment had such covered up the well. It had been covered over. And there was no way to get a drink without somebody taking them staves and beating away the dirt and beating away the filth and knocking away that had covered over the mouth of that well. And they say historically about this that when they uncovered the lid of that well, it was those staves, Brother Tim, that they stuck down and used to pry up the lid of that well and to roll it over for God to give them water. Don't lay your stave down. What about the stave of that old King James Bible? And I go on and on and on about different spiritual staves. Quit looking for some new way to do it. And I'm guilty of trying to figure things out. We ain't got to figure anything out. We just got to take what's been given to us. And no matter what the valley is, no matter what dangers we face, no matter how weary we are, just endeavor to dig on a promise. There's the submission, there's the staves. But notice the song in their endeavor. This is mind-blowing. I've already alluded to it a few weeks. Come on, Sister Candy, I'm done. But you study from the Exodus all the way to Numbers 21, the Exodus out of Egypt, Numbers 21, you'll find when Israel came up and was set free out of the bondage by the blood of the Lamb, that they sang a song to the Lord. Exodus 15 is the song of Moses. They sing, and what a song it is to magnify the might and the power of God, that He has brought them out of bondage. He has overthrown their taskmaster Pharaoh and his army, have been thrown into the sea. The horsemen and the horse and the horsemen, both and alike, have been drowned in the sea. And God has blasted breath and power out of His nostrils, and we walked across on dry ground. And they sing a song magnifying the glory and the power of Almighty God. They go to Kadesh Barnea. They wind up spending 40 years in rebellion in the wilderness, never sang one recorded song. Now God turns him toward the sun rising. Now there's a generation that has arisen among them that has learned it don't pay to murmur and grumble and complain and strive and tempt and live a bitter life. All they're doing is trying to follow God and God's man. God's man said, God said, dig. And they took them old staves and started digging. Amen. One of them men lift that stave. Says, spring up, oh well. I don't know how the tune went. You say, that's ridiculous. Well, you sing it to me then. Bible said they sang, Brother Tim, they sang. While they're digging, they're singing. You know what singing is? Singing is praise to the Lord. Singing is worship to Him. They're singing. They're digging on a promise. And part of what keeps them digging is they didn't allow that song to remain silent anymore. They're singing, saying, we believe there's something down in there that God has promised us. Amen. You ever tried to sing with a dry tongue? I have. I've tried to preach. I've ate country ham biscuits for breakfast on a Sunday morning before and try and get up and preach. Amen. That don't work, friend. This crowd's got a dry, parched tongue. Somebody said, you don't sing too well. And they say, yeah, but I got a song. You can't sing loud when you got a parched tongue and your throat's dry. Somebody said, you ain't singing real loud yet, but I got a song. Seems like these last days, not just here, I'm talking about across the land and preachers and churches that we love with all our heart. God's people are dry. Mike, we're in days and places we don't know how it's going to end. All we got's a promise. In days, these last few months, looking around, and Brother Larry, we're not singing maybe as good as we used to. Talking about spiritually, our life, not singing as loud as we used to. The devil wants us to think we can't sing while we dig. Brother Mo, I don't know how they did it. I read the words of that song and I go, that ain't the best song ever been written. It ain't as good as Amazing Grace. Somebody help me now. Spring up, oh well, sing ye unto it. That's all they were singing. But they were singing. They were singing. The preacher, I can't dig. You say God's going to give us water. I can't dig. Dig. When you can't dig, I'll take a swing at her a time or two for you. But Gerald, when you get a little weary, I'll dig for you. And when I get a little weary, if you'll just dig for me a minute. But Larry, when you're kind of tired and wondering, I'm trying to be done. I just feel heavy in my heart right now. But Larry, when you get a little weary, I'll roll up and I'll pray and dig a little while for you. Just dig for me every now and then. When you see somebody struggling, hey man, try to have a spiritual. I know you're dry yourself, but somehow, some way, try to sing a minute. Try to be a blessing. You ever get around somebody singing and you're kind of down in the dumps and they start singing and all of a sudden you go, ain't that bad. Maybe you'd lift somebody else up in prayer and relieve their burden a minute. So I'm telling you, He's the God of the valleys. He promised, I will give them water. That's a promise we're digging on. I believe if we'll have some submission and just say, okay, man of God, it don't look like anything, but I'll dig. If we'll just dig with the things been passed down, and we'll have some sort of joy somewhere on the inside that says, He said it, give a drink. Guess what? God gave them water. God's going to give you water. God's going to give this church water. There'll be enough for everybody. It's the provisions in the valley. Our God is with us. No matter what the environment is, it doesn't matter what the enemy says. Praise God. Stay together, church. God will give us water. Amen.